It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Okay. The elephants roll around in the red clay.
The Freddie Hubbard album?
Oh my God.
That's a great album. Shut up. Hello, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD To The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. I guess I should say it, because probably the last time I say it for a while. 1-800-233-0020, or go to WFYI.org. See, pledge drives, it's not just for HD1 anymore.
No, and I was thinking earlier, this time last year, I issued the challenge that if somebody made a pledge during Film Sociology and wrote in the comments that Kobe Slagle is cooler and better looking than Matt Soze, that I would buy them Yats.
And how's that working out for you?
Well, it,
besides
we didn't,
Bianca.
We didn't get any takers. We didn't get any takers last year.
Oh,
but,
are you going to do this again?
Yeah, let's reissue that.
So you're asking people to put in the subject line a falsehood? The voice you're
Haterade.
Hearing.
Haterade.
That's right. Delivering cynical snark since 1969. The man whose voice you just heard. It's a man who now respects the awesomeness of the album Red Clay by Freddie Hubbard. That's Kobe Slagle.
Hello, hello.
And we have two very special guests in studio. Now, the first one, I asked to be here. I did not call out an emergency. I want that for the record. But of course, comes with this man comes his own introduction.
Lawrence of Arabia. He's an English guy. He came to fight the Turkish.
Okay, Clark, right there. That's what I'm talking about. Lawrence of Arabia doesn't have any lyrics to it. Doesn't have any words.
What do you mean doesn't have lyrics?
It's music. It's music.
I've seen the movie four times.
And there were no words to it.
What are you
there
doing?
Are no words to that. Did you hear what I was singing earlier?
Somewhere I know that somebody, I think, wrote lyrics to this song.
Mike Perry, hello.
Apparently there are words to it.
He is an English guy, and he came to fight the Turkish.
He came to fight the Turkish.
The director of on-air branding and promotions here at WFYI and Hollywood Nights correspondent, among other things, Mike Perry. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, just fine. And 1-800-233-0020.
We've got about an hour left. We're trying to reach, we got about $3,000 left to go before we crack our goal of $250,000. You can get those pledges in at 1-800-233-0020.
You people listening online, you can. And if you're hearing this on Monday as a podcast, it's never too late too early.
That's right.
To support WFYI.
We take members all year round.
And we also have a blog, Kobe. Where's that at?
Filmsociology.tumblr.com.
And we actually do have Hollywood Nights news in a little bit. But but now, ladies and gentlemen, on borrowed time, mine, not his, is a ghoul that needs no introduction. So I'm just going to let him do it. Go right ahead.
Good evening, Matthew.
Good evening,
and
Sammy.
All of your listeners on your silly sociology.
That's the other program I have going in silly sociology. Sammy Terry's in the house. It's his busy time of year, and he's taking some time out to help bring an air of darkness to this nonsense that is this program. Before we begin, you have some stuff coming up. You're at the Children's Museum this evening, correct?
That's correct. I'll be at the Indianapolis Children's Museum this evening on Friday from 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Come out and experience Indiana's longest-running haunted house. And tomorrow evening on Saturday, I will be in Linton, Indiana, at the Frightmare's Haunted House. It's about 45 minutes south of Terre Haute, so you'll have a ghostly, ghastly drive to get there to see me. And of course, there you'll be able to purchase all of your Sammy Terry relics, such as a hoodie sweatshirt for those cold, damp Hoosier nights, as well as t-shirts and autographs and my DVD selections, which I brought a couple that Matthew will give away today during his radio show. So continue to listen and certainly send in your pledge. For I'll give you another incentive for your pledge if you will send in your pledge and put on Sammy Terry onto your pledge paper or your payment. I will send you an autographed picture, compliments of Sammy Terry, in appreciation for you sponsoring Indiana Broadcasting. For that is where you and I first met, and you and I will continue to meet as you watch my Halloween special, Halloween Night, at 10 p.m. on Indiana's 4 WTTV.
And what are you going to be showing that night?
That night, we'll be showing the 1987 production of Fright Night, starring Roddy McDowall. It's a horrible film of vampires and blood.
And disco scenes with Chris Sarandon. And half the Fox crew at that time. Yeah. You had folks from Herman's Head and Married with Children and Simpsons. And then that spazzy guy that looks like he would be McLovin's dad. So that's all taken care of. And better than the remake, by the way. So we'll with that. Yes, Mr. Slagle, you have...
Oh, no.
No? You're all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah? Is he freaking out?
A little bit.
Okay, that's cool.
Kobe, why are you moving away?
He does that every time he's working with me, Sammy. I don't think that's you. So. All right, I want to get to the new releases. I'm going to get through them pretty quick. There's a new version of Three Musketeers, and it's not the candy bar.
Didn't they do something just a couple years ago?
No, they didn't. It just feels like. Well, I directed a production. That's why maybe you've heard about it so much. It's directed by Paul W.S. Anderson. Yes, a swashbuckling film from the director of Resident Evil and Soldier. And it stars Matthew McFadden, for you fans of the second best Mr. Darcy in Pride and Prejudice.
And the better version of Death at a Funeral.
Ah, very good, Death at a Funeral. Although I am intrigued, Academy Award winner, Christoph Waltz is Cardinal Richelieu. And, of course, Mila Jovovich is Milady. Whatever. She's married to the director.
And I was online trying to do my homework for this show.
Yeah.
I couldn't find a single review for this movie.
You know why? Not
screened
for the press.
Oh, my
Which
God.
Means you're going to have to read about it on Saturday. Sammy, they let you watch movies in advance, don't they?
Oh, I typically get just about anything that I want as long as I threaten them with a good strong beating from Goolsbee.
So yeah, I think Emma wants to see it because of Daddy's association, and I assured her if it's better than the Disney version, but probably won't hold a candle to the 70s version with Oliver Reed, Michael York, and Raquel Welch and Faye Dunaway. I know, Kobe, the 70s were a different time.
But it does have Faye Dunaway, so.
It does have Faye Dunaway, 70s.
You just piqued my interest. With
really?
Me. Yeah.
Okay, you know what? Maybe I'll let you borrow it as soon as I find it after I open up the boxes in my house. For those who don't know, I just moved into a new house, and everything's on a need-to-open basis when it comes to the boxes of the sociological library and all that. So, well, I'm sorry, library, you're fans of Tyler Hansborough. Anyway, also opening this weekend is the spy comedy Johnny English Reborn. Talk about a scary film. It stars Rowan Atkinson reprising his role. And I think he did this 7 or 8 years ago.
It's been a while.
Long time ago. And he plays the bumbling spy who, guess what, he does spy stuff and he's not very good at it.
Oh.
Yeah. And even the mere presence of Gillian Anderson, who is great as his superior, well, she just is in all sorts of ways, can't save this. And the problem I have with this, I know Rowan Atkinson's, I think, a kind of a polarizing comedic figure. And the thing is, what's frustrating about it is, I know this is the man that's capable of Blackadder, which is one of the greatest television shows ever made, right?
Just agree with him.
You got to work on that. But the thing about Atkinson and that show in particular, as well as a lot of his stand-up, his one-man shows, was an equal balance of really smart and really silly. I mean, Monty Python did right. this. Woody Allen did this. And the problem with Johnny English, and yeah, I'm one of those. I think the same way about Mr. Bean. It's just kind of a one-trick pony. Yeah, he does a lot of physical shtick that I've seen before. And really, this is the third spy film, spy comedy I've seen this year between Spy Kids and Cars 2. Let's not forget Cars 2 was technically a...
I had already forgotten Cars 2.
And then I brought it up. That's what I do. Thank you. But yeah, they're just bringing those back. So I guess if you want a spy spoof that doesn't star Mark Myers, bully for you. I really didn't need a sequel to this. I didn't think they'd ever make a sequel to this. But they made a sequel to this. So there you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a reaction for that, Kobe?
No!
Gets Mark. Yeah, I didn't need the remake of Gets Mark either.
No, I was talking about the original.
Oh, the original, yeah. So that's also on DVD, which you can check out. Also, this weekend, we'll shift gears. Of course, at Landmark Cinemas up at Keystone and the Crossing, they're doing their Midnight Horror series, Midnight Fridays and Saturday Nights. You and Fair Sweet Bianca could get a bucket of beers and watch the original, the only one that matters, 1960 Hitchcock classic Psycho.
No.
To be fair,
Mike couldn't even complete his thought there.
I put Kobe Slagle up on the cross. I'm going to defend him now. when our fantasy football teams fought each other last year, and by the way, we live sad lives, but when my team beat his team, I made him watch Psycho, and because Mr. Slagle is not a scary, freaky movie connoisseur, correct?
That is correct, yes.
And then you watch Psycho, and?
Wasn't bad.
No, wasn't bad. Wasn't bad. Not gory, not
no,
bloody.
No.
But just
jumpy. It's jumpy.
You know what?
Don't like that.
Jumpy, like a spider, sitting on your shoulder when you see him there. Kobe, what I want you to do is I want you to go to the Landmark Cinema. I want you to see Psycho, but instead of getting that bucket of beer, I want you to get a bucket of Typo Cocktail. It'll make Psycho seem much more normal to you.
You heard the man. You heard him.
I don't
want to. Okay. Oh, we're going to work on that. Go to Landmark Cinemas for all the other information as far as weekend horror films. It's running through the month of October. So I'm going to mention a couple of these horror films and then I'll review them because I want to spend quality time with Mr. Terry over here. New on DVD and Blu-ray is the latest film from Kevin Smith called Red State, which is, well, it's kind of his version of a horror film, and the first half of the film feels like a film like Saw or Hostel, only instead of psycho killers, it's the far religious right.
Which is scarier to some of us.
Yeah, that being said. So this is, of course, the film that Smith is financing himself, and he was at Indy. He was in Indy earlier this year doing a private screening of it if you plunk down $50. Well, I watched it at Redbox. Well, I didn't watch it at Redbox. I rented it from Redbox for $1, and, well, it's closer to a dollar's worth than $50 worth. No. The thing is, the first half of the film, you have this setup of three guys, three high school kids, that go online and want to have a quartet with a woman that turns out to be Academy Award winner, Melissa Leo. And she's actually a trap for this far, far right religious sect, or as John Goodman's character describes them, as Fred Phelps with guns. And it takes a very unpleasant turn for the first half of the film. Nobody there to really root for, even the kids. There's characters you're supposed to root for, but guess what? They're part of a religious sect that's a little on the, you know, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. So the first half of the film, like I said, is kind of torture porn, only directed by Kevin Smith. Not as pithy written as Kevin Smith. And then the second half of the film is involving John Goodman, who's an ATF director, and then it becomes kind of a compound shootout picture. And yeah, there's a lot of guns and better action than this film than Cop Out, Kevin Smith's last film. That being said, there's a couple of things I would say you could watch it once and never have to think about it again, because it is, even at 85 minutes, this film is a slug to get through. But there's a big payoff at the end, Kevin Smith style, which I really don't want to wreck for anybody. But I don't know if it's going to be worth it for some people to check this film out. The other part is the head of this religious cult is played by actor Michael Parks.
Love Michael Parks.
Who's so terrifying in this. So good. Not as terrifying as you, sir. But but of course, this is a man who's been doing film and TV for over 40 years. Yep. I mean, you probably know him as the sheriff from Dusk Till Dawn. He was in Kill Bill. I think it was not Alias Smith and Jones. One of the westerns, TV westerns from the late 60s, but just kind of that guy.
Who's in Then Came Bronson.
Then Came Bronson. That's right. I'm sorry.
The motorcycle.
Thank you. Yes. He also directed. I found it, he directed and starred in a TV movie called The Return of Josie Wales. Clint was not involved. Anyway, Michael Parks is really terrifying in this, and it's a really effective performance. There is, however, a 10-minute monologue that he delivers in the first half of the film that you kind of get hit over the head. We got it. We got it. We got it. And it leads to a big payoff with one of the teenage boys. But a really unpleasant film to watch. And I don't know if that's a Halloween thing, Sammy. That's just I guess we'll keep the politics out of this one. But it is called Red State for a reason. Stephen Root's in it as well. Kevin Pollak shows up. But if you're into that sort of thing, I'd say go for it. Is it better than Cop Out? Well, it's more ambitious than Cop Out. But I don't want to have to sit through that film again.
I read an interview with Kevin Smith where this could be his last film. He's looking to get into, you know, the professional podcast.
Yeah, well, Steven Soderbergh, he's not the first director to say it's going to be his last film. Soderbergh's saying the same thing, and I don't know. So we'll see about that. We'll see. No audio on that one. We're just going to move on. I think so. Sammy, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing horrible, Matthew.
We know that, sir. We know. Also new on DVD and Blu-ray is The Crow. You do scary bird films, right? Not
Absolutely.
Just the birds?
Absolutely. Crows and ravens and anything black and dark.
So it wouldn't be the Pacers.
No.
I'm sorry, Kobe. What was your comeback going to be? Was it going to be better than that?
Oh, I was going to say,
give it a shot, Kobe.
I saw the birds. I like the birds.
You saw the birds?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's two Hitchcock films.
Yeah, I think I've said it before. I saw the birds, and also the follow-up to that is Tippi Hedren is a babe.
Well, yeah, we know that.
Mike's like, that's not news.
Yeah, that's kind of not news. I'm glad you caught up on that, because usually, at least one time during the show, as Kobe likes to put it, I make him Google old chicks, or as we corrected him, chicks from a different era. Be correct about that. So
vintage chicks.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
You're
on
not
that
so
one.
Undead after all, are you, sir?
Not totally.
Imagine that.
Parents, explain that to your kids. Yes, 1-800-233-0020 or WFYI.org. You know what is scary? Tippy's daughter's face. That's
shivers. Oh.
Yeah. That might maybe if you just show celebrity plastic surgeries over Fright Night, Sammy, that might bring the viewers in.
So many times reality is far more scary than anything Hollywood can produce. Just look at so many of the Hollywood actors walking around.
You can't. Is the old Robert Klein, but you can't slap them on the back because their cheeks will go flying across the way. And their cheeks will go flying across the way. So,
ba-dum-bum.
Yeah. Now, we'll get to a little bit about the Hollywood Nights, because that's a film that is set in Halloween Night 1965. Sammy, what were you doing Halloween Night 1965?
Oh, Halloween Night. It found me exactly where I normally will be, hiding away in my dungeon, working with George as he makes his big sticky cobwebs, looking for some new permanent residence for my tombstone patio condominiums.
And what do you like on your tombstone?
Oh, I like your blood.
Sorry.
But I tell you, Matthew, this Halloween night, as I mentioned before, I will be back in my dungeon and in your living room at 10 o'clock when you turn on your television after you've been trick-or-treating. To Channel 4 WTTV, I'll be right where I used to be, scaring you, bringing you a terrible tale of terror. Fright Night will be the movie this Halloween night, so make sure you tune in and watch me, and turn off your lights. Make sure you lock your door, get a big bowl of popcorn, and be ready for the scare of your life.
Now, in this film, Roddy McDowall plays a horror show host. What's your intake on his performance with that character, sir?
I have a certain fondness for all horror hosts, Roddy McDowell being a famous actor as he is. I'm so glad he chose to portray such an honorable profession.
And less apish.
A little less apish. At least he's on this planet.
That's true. That's true. And then you also have something going on online that evening, correct?
Most certainly. Any of you who are not fans of mine on my Facebook fan page, the Sammy Terry fan page, you'll want to make sure that you look that up and like that button. For during my show, I will be on live posting and chatting with each and every one of you. So make sure that while you're watching my horrible tale of terror at 10 o'clock on TTV4, make sure you've got your laptop in front of you so that I can speak to you and you can ask me questions or simply give me comments of how horribly, tiredly scared you are.
And that's a good thing to know about because Halloween is on a Monday, we have to check. You probably have to check with your city, your town, your neighborhood, and find out, are they celebrating it on Saturday? I don't know what's Ballard doing. Is he taxing Halloween yet?
I have not heard.
Or Dr. White. Anyway, but you want to double check that with your kids and find out, because if the official dates are on Saturday, I don't think you can trick-or-treat on Sunday. You can't buy liquor or a car in the state on a Sunday.
Probably can't trick-or-treat.
So, anyway, but double-check that. And at the very least, if you go out early, you can still come and hang out at, online with Sammy at 10 o'clock. Do you do a lot of scary stuff online, Sammy?
Oh, I will make mention of everything horrible that I can. Of course, it's not as good as being in front of you face to face. But as you look at my face on TV, you can speak to me as you tap your keys on your keyboard. And perhaps you can get a little shock. Or perhaps you'll notice a spider out of the corner of your eye coming to want to converse with George. For George will be with me as well.
Excellent.
Cool. What was your first Halloween like?
My first Halloween on this earth. Many people ask me how old I am, by the way.
Oh, I would never ask that, but, you know.
That's rude.
Because we can't cut your leg and count the rings either, so.
Oh, you may try, but it's hard to get through the necrotic tissue that's on top. You'll have to cut deep and jab that trocar very hard to get down to the bone to count those rings. But you see, my very first Halloween, which of course is my birthday,
yes,
would have been spent in Sammy Terry Castle from whence I came. You see, back then there was no written record of how old people were and when and where they might have been born. Therefore, I'm not sure when I was born, for I was far too young to remember.
And did they have costumes back then, or did you just go as you are now?
Most people seem to think I can go out without a costume. Why cover up my beautiful countenance?
That's not a religion, Kobe. I'm just saying. It's just.
Well, this is an honor for me because, you know, I'm from Indianapolis and I grew up here, and I big fan of Nightmare Theater back in the day. And one of my favorite parts of Nightmare Theater was always when, you get a Sammy Terry monologue. Can we expect one of those Friday night? I mean, Sammy would tell the best stories. You were just great. And they would go on for like 2 or 3 minutes off the top of the show and just to set up the movie. Can we expect one? What will we see in this special that those of us who remember Nightmare Theater will recognize?
The Nightmare Theater that you remember did have more minutes of Sammy Terry content. For unfortunately now, with the different packages that they have and the time available with the advertisers, Sammy Terry only gets about 6 minutes total from start to finish speak. So I don't get an opportunity to speak a long monologue, but you're in luck, Mike. For the Sammy Terry DVD library that's available on SammyTerryNightmares.com. I've got classic horror films like Horror Express, Night of the Living Dead, Dementia 13, and The Screaming Skull. In those movies, being on the DVD release, I'm able to tell you horrible monologues that go on and drone a while, several minutes at a time. And of course, I can break into the movie about every 10 minutes. So the people that purchase my DVDs have reported back that they get so much more Sammy content. It's so much more enjoyable than some of the broadcasts.
Man, we got to get you away from that evil commercial television. Get you more airtime, man.
Yeah, that's true, but that's a fight for one cinematic soul, I think. And by the way, the monologues, whether it's on TV or on the DVD, it should be noted, because I'm going to be an old man, one camera, one take. None of this multi-camera, multi-takes, none of this Michael Bay, Stanley Kubrick nonsense. One camera, a monologue from start to finish. Very impressive, and also very terrifying from an actor standpoint.
Not so. For the things that go through my mind, Matthew, are always horrible and terrible. Things just roll off my tongue in such a sarcastic, sardonic way that I have no problem rambling on about those things that scare most.
We know. 1-800-233-0020 or WFYI.org. Sammy, have you seen anything terrifying lately? Not just the Colts?
Well,
yeah. I said it. Don't look at me. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, forgive Matthew. He's having a rough week. You know, the Tigers didn't make it to the World Series.
You gotta bring that up. And they eventually lost to the 49ers, which we knew. Yeah, can we get to more scary stuff? Thank you, Sammy. Sorry about that.
Not a problem at all, for there is quite a few frights and scares going on around Indianapolis area. The scariest things that I've seen most recently are the variety of the haunted houses and all of the haunted attractions that are going on throughout the state. Everywhere from Harrodsburg to Muncie and Frankfort, in Linton and every other city throughout Hoosier State. Hoosiers have a way of haunting in ways that other people miss. For we understand what it means to go through the changes of life and seasons. To understand death in the fall when things turn brown. To celebrate the snow, for it just covers up the darkness and the dampness that lies beneath. The quietness of a winter night simply brings to mind the quietness of the soul when you're contemplating where you're going to spend the rest of your eternity. For many horrifying things go through the mind of men. The things that you contemplate moments before you fall asleep, whether someone's in that closet or not. And whether you locked that window or that door. Those are the things that horrify and haunt most people's minds. But of course, bring glory to mine. For anything dark, anything dank, tends to tickle my funny bone and keeps me in such a warm, dark mode.
That's what I'm talking about.
Those are a few of his favorite things. Well, there's one other DVD, Blu-ray release, I guess we should mention. It's the 40th anniversary of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Sammy, do we know why the film takes a grinding halt so we can have that terrifying moment in the tunnel?
Well, so many people with Willy Wonka, all the way from the Oompa Loompas who seem to come from nowhere really anyone knows. There's all kinds of fears in Willy Wonka's world. In fact, I'd like to invite Willy Wonka to my Sammy-tary dungeon because I would like the return reciprocal trip to the chocolate factory.
Who's the scariest kid?
Oh, the scariest kid, I would say, would be Charlie.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Sammy-tary, please tell us where you're going to be at this weekend. Tell us more about the TV and the podcast and cast online. We know you got to go terrify some kids at the Children's Museum.
Absolutely. In fact, I invite everyone to go to SammyTerryNightmares.com. On there, you can click on my appearance tab, and it will tell you all of the horrible places that you can come and meet me face to face, shake my hand, and bring your camera. For being seen with me will certainly improve your image. And if you would like to see me more than just on Hollywood... On Halloween night at 10 p.m., you can go to indianas4.com website and click on the Sammy Terry link. There you'll see video shorts of me hosting portions of the classic films. And of course, back on SammyTerryNightmares.com, make sure you click on the merchandise page, for you'll find ball caps and t-shirts and hoodies, and pictures and posters, and of course my DVD library, to keep you haunting all throughout the year. Make sure when you go to the indianas4.com website,
You also click on that Sammy Terry button, for you'll also find how you can turn your pumpkin carving into the face of Sammy Terry with the pumpkin carving pattern that's available there as a PDF download for free. Make sure you join me Halloween night at 10 p.m. on WTTV Channel 4 for my Halloween night TV special hosting Fright Night. And while you're doing that, log on to your Facebook account, for Sammy Terry's fan page will be full of terrible things as Sammy Terry chats live with you, posting back and forth during the movie. So as you mentioned, Matthew, tonight I'll be scaring all of the little goblins and ghouls at the Indianapolis Children's Museum. Tomorrow night on Saturday the 22nd, I'll be Linton, Indiana's spooky host for the Frightmare's Haunted House. I welcome everyone to come and visit Sammy Terry. Continue to want to listen to this silly sociology each week and phone in your pledge or pledge online to support WFYI. Those are the horrible happenings that's in Sammy Terry's realm. And on behalf of George and myself, Matthew, and Mike, and Kobe, I thank you for the opportunity of sharing your Halloween weeks with me. And I wish you and all of your listeners many pleasant nightmares.
Sammy Terry, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much, Sammy. Don't forget, 1-800-233-0020 or go to WFYI.org. If you put in the subject line Sammy Terry or Kobe thinks he's better than Matt, then whatever, then we'll figure out an arrangement for you to get some Sammy Terry merchandise. Sammy, thank you so much. We're going to take a short break. You'll appreciate this, Sammy. It's the theme from Blackula. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the Hollywood Nights, new on Blu-ray with Mike Perry. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Lawrence of Arabia, He's an English guy. He came to fight the Turkish.
Okay, Clark, right there. That's what I'm talking about. Lawrence of Arabia doesn't have any lyrics to it. Doesn't have any words.
What do you mean doesn't have lyrics?
It's music.
To it?
It's music.
Hey, I've seen the movie four times.
And there were no words to it.
What are you
there
doing?
Are no words to that.
Hey,
did you hear what I was singing earlier?
Somewhere I know that somebody, I think, wrote lyrics to this song.
Hi, Mike Ferry.
That's what I'm talking about, right there.
I'm going to be haunted by Lawrence for the rest of my life.
That's on your tombstone. He's an English guy.
See, that's what killed me about the interview with Sammy. I had a Sammy Terry tombstone with my name on it.
Did you?
And it got lost in the move from Bluff Road to the new fandangled
Thanks, Mom.
Complex
Thanks, Dad.
Up there.
Yeah. Parents have a way of ruining childhood memories. Mm. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. I'm your host, Matthew Sosie, along with Mike Perry, Kobe Slagle. Sammy Terry just whisked out of here. With a whisk.
Well, it was cool the way he changed into a bat like that.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. Far more realistic than the transformation to a bat in Blackula, which we just heard music from. Yes, 1-800-233-0020. Go to WFYI.org.
Breaking news on that.
Oh, God. What?
We made the goal!
Whoa. All right. Congratulations. Now, if you're listening as a podcast on WFYI.org, it's never too late or too early, so you can still show your pledge of support by calling 1-800-233-0020 or going to WFYI.org. And what's the piece of false information they're supposed to put in the subject line?
Oh, the
falsehood.
The falsehood.
The complete lie they have to write in the subject line.
Oh, it's not a lie. It's if you write, nah, let me tell you. You know what? Nah, just go on.
Just write Sammy. If you write Sammy Terry in the pledge spot in the subject line, you get some Sammy Terry swag. So we'll just start that, and you get to support WFYI.
That's
no,
right.
Kobe, you said like Matt. Kobe is smarter and better looking than me.
Yeah, cooler and better looking.
Cooler and better looking.
Yeah,
but it's so not true. The quote, coach, the coach. That ain't true. Get your backstory. You're looking for it now, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I got it. Where is it?
Because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage. So get your facts straight.
Thank you, Coach Mike Gundy. That's right. All right.
We seem to have lost control of the show somewhere.
Well, when you have a ghoul in the show, it just kind of throws things off.
There was
off
an
a
undead
bit.
Guy in here, Mike.
Yeah, he's kind of right about that. Okay, so part of the reason why Mike Perry is here, because, well, he got to meet Sammy Terry, and we got the post pledge. Yes, put the lights on, Kobe. That's nice. But this is a major day in film sociology when it comes to Blu-ray releases. And you know, every time we talk about the Blu-ray releases, we ask, would you buy this film on Blu-ray? And I don't think there's any new features on this, but I still answer with a resounding yes, because The Hollywood Knights is finally on Blu-ray. So you can see Michelle Pfeiffer in late 70s Fran Drescher that much clearer, actually from 1980. Did we make you watch that? I made you watch it. Okay, good.
Yeah.
You had to, because you couldn't be on the show.
Love that movie.
But yes, one of the probably the most underrated and arguably the finest. Yeah, I know I'm talking about Animal House as well. But of the slob sex comedies of the late 70s, early 80s, you could probably say hit its financial peak with Animal House, and then there was that period from Animal House to Porky's, and I think from Porky's on it kind of. I can't say how it went away, but anyway, that kind of its glory day was the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, it kind of achieved cult status because HBO would play it endlessly in their early days.
That is true. That is true. And it's directed by a guy, a fascinating guy named Floyd Muttrux, who also directed American Hot Wax with Tim McIntyre as Alan Freed. And that's a film that's never been on VHS or DVD or Blu-ray, and I doubt will because of the copyrights of the music. Because there are live performances by Chuck Berry, Jerry Lee Lewis, and there's a bunch of great songs from the 1950s. And as far as getting the rights to that, good luck. And I'm kind of astounded that somebody stuck a crowbar on their wallet and was able to get the music rights for Hollywood Nights. Because it's for those who don't know, it's set in Halloween 1965 at a drive-in in Los Angeles, Tubby's.
On its last day.
They're getting closed down by the fuddy-duddy townsfolk who want to put up a building, a big building. And so the gang, and let's put it this way, this is 1980. Tony Danza was the big name in this film. This was in his Taxi days. You had a young Michelle Pfeiffer. You had an up-and-comer named Robert Wool, who was the John Belushi character in this.
You had my co-star from Ernest Goes to Jail, Gaylord Sartain.
That's right, who we just heard is our favorite voice of reason. Not working here. And you had Fran Drescher. And
Moosey Dreyer.
That's right.
Who was a kid actor back when this was made.
Cousin Bruce, famous L.A. DJ. Yep. So there was a lot, a couple different storylines going on. There was the new recruits. There was the couple, the Pfeiffer, Danza characters, Robert Wool running around. Oh, by the way, best use of the song Valari ever, as well as the theme from Lawrence of Arabia. we can't accept. And, of course, everyone's favorite one-armed violinist. Yeah.
I mean, the storyline is kind of secondary. It's pretty much a sketch comedy film.
Yeah, from start to finish.
Yeah, and so it's just goes from bit to bit to bit to bit. Some of them don't hit the mark at all. Some are still, to this day, laugh out loud funny.
And if you mentioned a cult film, which it definitely is. Those who know it, and of course we give a big shout out to Chris, who is also, we should have him on so we could do a whole hour of his program. But it's also extremely quotable. And but the thing is, you have to know the film in order to quote it. It's not one of those, it's not like Big Lebowski or Office Space where you know the quotes even though you haven't seen the film. There's quite a bit of them in this one. So,
gentlemen, it's time to spike the punch.
This thing's got a little bit of wang to it. He's talking about the punch, folks. I can say that sort of. So, yeah, that's finally out on Blu-ray. That's one of those. I think Criterion should put that out with a 2-disc and commentaries by everybody. Because really, that cast, they're available. And Michelle Pfeiffer won't return my calls. Also sad and terrifying. So that is out on Blu-ray. Go check that out. Now, we have some other new titles. I already mentioned Red State. Tree of Life, which is another plotting film in its own right. You were not crazy about it.
No, I was not crazy about it.
I liked it. I didn't love it. I think it could have been 30 minutes shorter and not just the scene with the dinosaurs and the evolution of the planet. There's a lot of little spaz boys running around Texas that it could have been trimmed as well.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't getting all the esoteric stuff in that. I mean, it was a nice story when it centered on the family.
Right.
But I was clawing my eyes out towards the end of that movie, and
I think what Terrence Malick was trying to say, that the death of a teenage boy just amounts to a hill of beans in this crazy world. He wanted to show us the history of this crazy world from start to finish, and Sean Penn running around on the beach. So.
Yeah, even Sean Penn didn't get this movie.
Well, yeah, he got a call from Terrence Malick to act, and he apparently had a good time on Thin Red Line, so we do this. And this is my first Malick film. I think it was a letdown. I mean, I loved Badlands, Days of Heaven, Thin Red Line. Still waiting on a longer version of Thin Red Line, and I thought Tree of Life should have been shorter, and The New World. So.
I like The New World, but that was another case. You could get a good solid half hour out of that movie and still have a good story.
Right.
I mean, just the scene where they arrive at the New World is about half an hour. It felt that way.
Docking and getting things, the speech before you have to get off the ship. All right, so that's out. Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, the fourth film. This time it's directed by Rob Marshall. This time it's in 3D. This time there's no Orlando Bloom or Keira Knightley.
Nope. I think it suffered for it at the box office.
I remember saying at the time it came out, this would have been a pretty good second Pirates film, but it's not. It's the fourth. So, and my issue with that is, of course, by the time it gets to the fourth, it's the Jack Sparrow show. And at least there was, throughout the first three, there was trying to be a balance between Johnny Depp and the young couple. And, of course, they just found another young couple to play different roles in this film. But you have Penelope Cruz and you have Ian McShane.
Love Ian McShane.
I love Ian McShane. I love Penelope Cruz for different reasons. but they're underused in this film, which is really sad. I think there could have been more scenery chewing from Ian McShane and more sword buckling from Ms. Cruz. And
that's a swashbuckling.
Sword buckling?
Not sword buckling.
No?
Swashbuckling.
I should maybe call a pacer and do the reading for that. Okay, for those
who don't know. How does one buckle a swash exactly?
Yeah, you're so smart.
I don't know. This one it is. Swashbuckling. And everybody knows that.
And Red Clay's a great album.
That's a pirate thing.
It's a pirate thing. Yeah. Pirates are bad, too. Pittsburgh's terrible.
Nah,
but yeah, I'm sorry. Oh my God. Swashbuckling.
Swashbuckling.
And by the way, if
for that matter, what is sword buckling?
You know, it happens. You know, I saw you know, I see you not filling a sentence out when you know Sammy Terry was here. So shut up, getting on me.
But, he's a little punch drunk from Pledge yet,
and punch drunk love for that matter. No, if you go to YouTube, find Tyler Hansborough reads Chicken Little. You'll understand some of. No, you won't, but it's funny anyway. So yeah, it's kind of a letdown. I don't need a fifth pirate film, and hopefully Mr. Depp doesn't want to buy another island because.
Well, at least he'll be diverted with the Lone Ranger for the foreseeable future.
We'll see if that happens.
They just greenlit it with a reduced budget.
I know, but remember, he was supposed to work with Terry Gilliam, and look how that film turned out. So wait to call me when it's finished. Also on DVD and Blu-ray this week, and I know Kobe's adding this to his, Beats, Rhymes, and Life, the documentary about a tribe called Quest.
Yeah, that's going up on the shelf.
Along with your Wu-Tang collection.
Yes.
But it's a documentary about the kind of famous ahead of their, I mean, really, before their time rap group, A Tribe Called Quest, back in the late 80s, early 90s, and their rise, and I wouldn't say a fall, but a dissolving, I guess, of the group. I mean, they were, if you think about A Tribe Called Quest and De La Soul from back then, these were not the ball cap wearing NWA guys poolside with the low angle shots of the girls at the pool. Kobe, you remember those videos as well as I do. I mean, they were doing something completely different, and it was fun while it lasted. And it's interesting, you get some backstage footage with of then and now with the group. And The Onion compared it, they said it was a rap version of the documentary Some Kind of Monster, the Metallica documentary, as far as being able to capture a dysfunctional group as it's happening. So, I mean, from a voyeuristic standpoint, that's kind of delicious to watch.
Or kind of like Anvil.
The story of Anvil.
Yep.
Fine documentary about the very underappreciated Canadian metal band. But anyway, so there's that. And I think, this is fits the documentary mold that you may not know anything about A Tribe Called Quest, but it's still entertaining cinema and worth checking out. Also, the documentary Page One, Inside the New York Times, is out as well. And the kids' film correspondent reminded me to tell everybody that the film Monte Carlo, starring Selena Gomez, is out on DVD and Blu-ray this week.
Thanks, Emma.
Yeah, her birthday's coming up, too.
Happy birthday, Emma.
Yeah, November 5th.
Guess maybe you can get her Monte Carlo.
Oh, my gosh. You know what you should do?
Shut up.
Matt, you know
what
you should do?
To the podcast. What?
You know what you should do? You should get Monte Carlo.
Shut up. This is my
she
world.
She can't hear us whisper.
Yes, but she could listen to the podcast on WFYI.org. She might want to listen to Sammy.
As many of us do.
That's right. You don't have to be my 9-year-old daughter to listen to the show as a podcast. All right. Also on DVD and Blu-ray this week, Bad Teacher. Which
Bad Teacher.
Well, you wish it was that. It's, and this is from director Jake Kasdan, who gave us Zero Effect, Walk Hard, and he finally got a big hit with this. It stars Cameron Diaz in the title role. Yeah, think of Bad Santa, only set it in a school and replace Billy Bob Thornton with Cameron Diaz, of a wise trade, by the way.
Well, it is trading up.
Definitely training up. And yeah, I would ask Tom Petty that. But she plays a gold digger who is working in a high school, although we never really know how she got there or why she got there. Maybe that's on the deleted scenes. But let's just say, you know, for a teacher, teaching is not one of her strong points. And as time goes on, she actually starts to develop a little bit of some teaching savvy. But it is a film in which the lead is just a despicable, albeit very attractive, young person. Mm-hmm. And I guess you kind of shake your head at how vile this person is, kind of like Thornton's character in Bad Santa. There's some funny moments. I will say this as far as full disclosure for me. This is the film I watched after Bridesmaids. Don't do that.
Oh, yeah.
That's it's kind of a letdown by comparison. So, But I got to give Diaz credit, and not just because of the car washing scene, but which, by the way, guys everywhere say thank you.
Which is extended in the DVD.
Well, of course it is. Why,
the unrated,
why wouldn't it? The unrated. The not rated version. Gotta
the
love
not
that.
Rated version.
But there's also a bunch of familiar faces that are that play faculty members and parents and kids that they come off the bench. They're the Robert Horry's of comedy. They come off the bench, they do their 1-2 scenes, and then they're gone. So fun, not great, not Bridesmaids, but probably worth a rental. It's worth a buck. You?
I saw it with my girlfriend, who is a first grade teacher, and
how'd that go?
Well,
it's not a documentary.
I kept asking her throughout the movie, "Does that happen to you? Do you do that?
Would you do that?
Yeah.
The car wash?
Yeah. Would you do that? Yes." I'm not commenting. I'm dating his first grade teacher.
That's right. Kobe owned.
In the interest of full disclosure.
Yeah, just so we straighten that out. Kobe, you didn't have car wash fantasies like that, right?
What?
Cameron Diaz, yes?
I don't like Cameron Diaz.
No? You don't like Cameron Diaz?
No.
Okay. She's not old.
What?
Because I usually have you Google old chicks from a different era, remember?
No, no.
Classic. No, vintage chicks.
Vintage chicks.
As Sammy put it. You got to write that one down, so... yeah, so there we go. That's all of the movies that came out on DVD and Blu-ray this week. I am wrong, of course, because Mike Perry brought one that he purchased, not just for the show. You were buying this for your own.
Oh no, yeah.
Stuff.
Oh, I had to.
But we at Film Sociology benefit from the purchase. Tell us about Batman Year One.
Batman Year One is part of a line of animated motion pictures that Warner Brothers and DC Comics produced that they're the best Batman stories I've seen in a long time.
Better than Christopher Nolan? And
this one is based on a very good graphic novel by Frank Miller, who's like the god of comic books. And it's got a pretty top-shelf cast in it. It's doing voice work. It's Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad, mm-hmm. Ben McKenzie from Southland.
Yes.
Katie Sackhoff from Battlestar Galactica.
Also a correspondent, one of your correspondent beats.
And yeah, Elijah Dushku from
yeah.
And so it's a great cast and it's a great story. It tells a story of how Bruce Wayne becomes Batman.
But didn't we already see that twice?
We've seen it several times,
but not in anime. They
tell the story really well in this one.
Now, is this the same group at one time when Mark Hamill was voice of the Joker? Or was
yes.
that a different? This is different. Oh, this is the same group.
It's the same company. Yeah, it's the same company.
Okay.
But not the same cast. And of course. This one's got Catwoman in it, so.
Uh-oh.
You gotta love that.
It's gotta be better than the Halle Berry film. That's all I ask.
How could it not be?
That's true.
How could it not be?
That is true.
But if you're a Batman fan or a comic book fan, this is a must-have.
And a lot of goodies on it?
Not a lot of goodies, but there's some behind-the-scenes stuff. There's a few cartoons from the original series that we were just talking about. There's a Catwoman cartoon on here.
I have a Catwoman cartoon, but my wife frowns at me.
And then, the obligatory previews of other movies they've made. But if you're a comic book fan or a Batman fan, you got to have this on your shelf.
There you go. And Dark Knight Rises next summer.
Looking forward to it.
Filmed in Pittsburgh, not Chicago.
Well, I'll like it anyway.
That's true. How you doing over there, Kobe?
Doing good. Oh,
what are you up to?
I was just looking at this.
No, he doesn't get tortured, and the beaver's not Jewish. So
okay.
However,
I'll see it anyway.
All right. However,
thanks, Mike.
No problem.
As you can tell, Kobe is.
How much incriminating evidence do you have on that computer?
I've got a lot of pretty great clips here.
Remember, this is not a computer, and it's not a studio.
No.
It's our toy.
Oh, wait a minute.
I'm just saying, it's snoozable.
Okay, there we go.
As you can tell, Kobe is currently working on editing the end-of-the-year wrap-up show, which apparently might just be 59 minutes of stuff like that. I don't know yet. We'll see. We shall see, but otherwise at the end of the normally at the end of the year I do some classic interviews, like probably the Tommy Wiseau interview is going to run, and maybe one of the ones with Robert Irvine, who we will hopefully be chatting with next week. because next Iron Chef is coming up, as well as a cooking demonstration that he's going to do at Clues Memorial Hall. So we'll see about that. But at the also, it might just be an audio montage by Kobe Slagle. Since you're going to be gone, you're actually going on holiday during the holidays.
Oh, am I?
You told me you were.
What? Yeah, the whole mom and dad moving to Florida thing. Yeah.
How dare you? How dare you not be on radio during the holidays? I will.
I know.
But you won't.
He has a life.
He doesn't. Really?
And there it is.
he doesn't care. He just wants to go hang out with his family in warmer climate. I understand that. Oh, you got another? I know because when you put the three fingers on the mic, that means you're going to share something with us. Yeah, go ahead.
No,
go.
I don't have anything.
Are you sure?
No, I don't have anything relevant.
It's okay.
I mean, I could.
That's never stopped you.
I could play this
film.
apparently you can't.
Apparently you cannot. Try. Why don't you try it again, genius?
It's also an art film.
There we go. That's one of my favorites.
Also an art film.
Dude, we don't know what films they're talking about, right? Not all of
them. That one I don't know. You know the one with Perry there a second ago, that was The Beaver.
Well, yeah, I know that because I made a bad Mel Gibson joke that's still kind of funny. I do remember with Chris Lloyd. I think he was the first sound clip we borrowed, and that was for The Dilemma.
Yeah, it's not hella bad.
Yeah, that one. Again, quotes you won't see in the ad campaign. Chris Lloyd of Film Yap says, not hella bad.
Joe Shearer says,
it's dumb.
Did you borrow any clip? Were you able to get any nuggets out of Richard Probst last week?
I didn't make any marks.
Uh-oh.
There were a couple times. I think there were a couple times, but I didn't make any time marks. So
I see. We'll have to work on that. You know, they all can't be radio gold. Oh, so, is that my favorite number? 3?
So, getting back to movies. what should we see this week, man?
Man, well, let's see. I guess
Moneyball is still in theaters and probably Midnight in Paris as well.
You know what? I'm not sure if it is. It might have finally ran its course. Midnight in Paris? Yeah. You know what? I would say, if Moneyball is still in theaters, 50-50 is still in theaters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got to check that out. As far as DVDs, Bad Teacher, of course, Bridesmaids, Beat, Rhymes, and Life. I would say that. Willy Wonka is in its 40th anniversary. You can go check that out. Hollywood Nights. Yep. Definitely watch Hollywood Nights. And, of course, go pick up some Sammy Terry DVDs and check those out as well.
What's the new one coming out with Rashida Jones? Or the new one that's out with
you mean
Rashida
Emma's
Jones?
Nanny?
Yes.
It's called Emma's Nanny.
Oh.
No,
oh,
it's not.
Great. So I'll just make the trip over to Richmond and...
Well, you would for Rashida Jones. You won't for me. You won't for my family, but you will for Rashida, right? Thank you.
Okay, think about that for a second. Wouldn't you?
You see, I live there, so it's really not out of the way. Now, if I weren't living there, yeah, you're right. You're totally. I think we would go. We'd all go, but I think we would have to drive separately. Right. All right. I think we've done enough damage. See, ladies and gentlemen, your pledge dollars at work right here. 1-800-233-0020 or WFYI.org. If you're listening to this on Monday, it's never too late or too early to support WFYI. Let's get some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
On behalf of Sammy Terry, Mike Perry.
No relation.
Kobe Slagle. Definitely no relation, no matter how he looks. I'm Matthew Soucy. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. We all do. 1-800-233-0020 or WFYI.org. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.